What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Hey, aloha, America. Welcome back to the show, hour number two. And we're going to go right to the phones here to Nancy in California. Aloha, Nancy. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. You can get online and there's video footage of that assassination. They had little footsteps at the back of his car that the Secret Service was supposed to stand on. And there was a car behind his car with, I assume, Secret Service that were waving the guy off. And so you saw that footage?
Yeah, that actually took place at the Dallas airport, where there was a Secret Service agent who was going to mount on that bumper step. There's also a small handle there, and he was waved off by the supervisor of the protective detail. And he throws his arms up and says, what the heck is going on? And, I've seen that footage.
Exactly. And so I think that they were, you know, obviously they were setting it up for him to be vulnerable from the get-go. I believe the Secret Service was behind it.
They should have put that bubble top on. There's a plexiglass bubble top that went on that limousine that would have deflected the shots, and that was taken off and just left off.
They hated Joseph Kennedy. They called him an anti-Semite. And, you know, they killed both, all three sons, actually. His one son that was in the war was on a non-combat mission, and he was killed. He was on
People get killed in non-combat missions here. But there were a lot of people who hated the Kennedys. They were seen as new money coming out of Prohibition. But in terms of John F. Kennedy, the group that was working against him consisted, first of all, of Israel, because Kennedy did not want them to get nuclear weapons. The Federal Reserve, because of Kennedy's Executive Order 11110. The Texas oil billionaires, because of the oil depletion allowance issue. Organized crime. The mafia was against him. They felt he'd double-crossed them, because they'd been helping him win the election against Richard Nixon, and then John F. Kennedy appointed his brother as attorney general and sent them after organized crime. Then you had the CIA, which hated Kennedy for the Bay of Pigs fiasco. And they all wanted him.
Right, what? But who killed Lee Harvey Oswald? The person who killed Lee Harvey Oswald was Jack Rubenstein.
Yes, and he was a bag man for the mafia. And he was supposedly allowed into the basement of the Dallas Police Department by a guy named Ray Vaughn, who was then promoted to chief of police of Midlothian, Texas.
Yep, pretty slimy people. I am still here.
Yes, they are.
Despicable people. You know, it was just evil. And those people who orchestrated that have remained in power, in my opinion.
Well, their heirs and their followers have remained in power.
What I mean.
Most of the original plotters are dead now.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I meant. That whole...
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks an awful lot for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. And I do have a JFK page. And again, if you go to my website, there's that gray box of permanent articles right underneath the banner. And you can see JFK is in there, RFK, JFK Jr., Martin Luther King, Vince Foster, of course. They're all in there, the whole mess. Now, getting on back to the economic news, Russian financial institutions are now ready to disconnect from the SWIFT system. SWIFT stands for the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, and this is the global dollar-based interbank payments network. And it is because everybody uses this network that the U.S. government is able to enforce sanctions. They just throw a switch, and all of a sudden, the interbank transfers stop working. Well, Russia has been working on developing their own parallel system to be used with the BRICS nations. And apparently, they're now ready to basically disconnect from SWIFT and go on their merry way without them. And I think probably a lot of other countries are going to follow suit. because they're beginning to realize anytime they're tangling up their nation with any U.S.-based economic system, computer system, it makes them vulnerable because our government is weaponizing everything, including the economic system. Now, turning to Europe, interesting statement. Over in Italy, Berlusconi is pointing out that only 5% of Italy's 630,000 refugees qualify for refugee status. Only 5%. And that's obviously there's something wrong with the system. These are not really refugees. There are specific definitions as to what constitutes a refugee. These people don't meet it. 95% of these 630,000 refugees don't qualify as refugees. And Berlusconi says they represent a social time bomb that is ready to explode. And he's certainly right about that. We've been seeing all the trouble that these migrants are causing all over Europe. Now, again, back in Italy, there's a candidate for prime minister, Matteo Salvini, who's saying exactly the same thing. Out-of-control immigration is causing social conflict. It's a mess out there. All right, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Corporate media is still on this Parkland shooting. They're not reporting on anything else. I got to tell you, this really feels like another shady hook, if you will. Now, we've been talking about George Soros and how he aroused the ire of quite a few people in Great Britain by donating money to an organization whose stated objective is to undo the Brexit, to just wreck it, to keep Britain attached to the European Union. And Soros, in response to the criticism, threw more money at the organization. Death to Brexit. And now he's been joined by Richard Branson. And Branson is now calling on members of parliament to vote against the withdrawal bill at the end of Brexit negotiations, despite polls showing the majority of British people still want to leave. But to heck with democracy, to heck with what the people want. Actually, there's a story that came out of The Express that apparently the anger level in the general population is really starting to climb over this issue. The British voters made their will known, and they're very, very angry at all these people who have the arrogance to presume to undo what the people voted for. Okay. Now, apparently a second U.S. judge, U.S. District Judge Nicholas Garoufis in Brooklyn, has blocked the Trump administration from ending the DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. It will not end in March as planned. And apparently this was the result of immigrants who sued the Republican administration. That's odd. I didn't think they had standing. They're not citizens. Now, the decision is similar to an earlier ruling by a federal judge in San Francisco that DACA must remain in place while litigation over Trump's decision unfolds. And the legal battle over DACA could complicate a debate currently underway in Congress on whether to change the nation's immigration laws. We don't need more laws. We already have laws. It's called Title VIII. They're not being enforced. That's the problem. So it's a waste of time for Congress to get together and vote through more laws if they're not going to enforce them. Keep hearing from the pro-immigration people. Immigration creates wealth. Really? Why is California broke? Immigration does not create wealth. There aren't enough jobs for the legal American citizens, let alone the illegal immigrants. And all of these immigrants all over the country, they are putting a strain on our infrastructure, on our water, on the social services. This is an unmitigated disaster. I guess our politicians are just happy as all get out to get those campaign donations from people like George Soros. Okay, over again, California. C.K. McClatchy High School. Apparently, students, parents, and staff are upset over a science fair project by a student in the Elite Magnet program. And basically, this student went on out and did a science project on IQ and race. And it came on back, to nobody's surprise, saying that there are certain races that are not as intelligent as others. And, of course, that's not politically correct. We're all created equal, no matter how unequal we may be. And so, basically, due to pressure, the school basically yanked this study, saying it's going to hurt and upset the people in those races with the lower IQs. Well, that's not going to raise their IQs. That's the problem right there. And this is nothing new. There have been a lot of studies that show there are certain races that have more brains. And when I was a member of Mensa, we observed this. There were certain races that qualified for Mensa, and there was an absence of others. That's reality. And one of the problems I have with political correctness is its complete abandonment of reality in favor of this liberal fantasy world, where just by screaming and whining, you can get everything that you want. All right, we're going to take a phone call now. Peter in Los Angeles, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, before I get into anything, I want to ask you, I'm making a checkout. I just wrote one to Republic Broadcasting. Homebase Entertainment, 98871. Yes. This is for you, too, right?
Please, Peter, please don't put my address out on the air.
It's on your website. So.
Yeah, it's on the website.
But that's where I make the checkout, right?
Yeah.
That's where I make the checkout, too. Okay, oh, got it. Okay. Yeah, Michael, it's political correctness, and I'm in a mixed family. My daughter is mixed. The people that I love most in my life are black. But all the data, and it goes back to the First World War when they first started doing standardized, basically, IQ tests, there's a 10-point deviation. And it doesn't work out so great for white people, because Asians work out to be about 4 or 5 points higher than we do. And let's give, you know, them their due. I mean, they're, you know, but the just as it's absolutely completely evident that as a rule, I think black people are superior athletes. As a rule, they are. The average black person is, I'd say, like a 7 on the white scale. You know, the average white person physically is like a 4 on the black scale, but. And so that's a given in my and I used to say to my friend, who's this liberal professor in my neighbor at Northridge, Cal State Northridge in women's studies, but she's a dog lover, and I would tell her, do you see a difference in behavior between a pit bull and your Chihuahua? And they go, yeah. You know, and I go through the whole dog breed thing where there's definitely, you know, a chow against a golden retriever. There's definitely, you know, and so there's different behavioral traits, too. So it is what it is. People are equivalent. They're not equal. They're equivalent. And that doesn't mean to say they aren't brilliant black people. My daughter is much smarter than me. She is 15, and she gets $40,000 a year scholarship to a private school that costs $43,000. Because she's never had a B. She's much smarter than I am. My wife is smarter than I am. But there's... Not to say there aren't brilliant black people, but as a rule, you know, statistically, it's as undeniable as looking at the NBA or NFL and saying, hey, black people are better athletes. You look at, there's 100 years of data on this, and they totally ignore it.
Yeah, it's politically incorrect. I mean, the idea is they're starting out with this claim that all men are created equal, which is good politics, but it's not real. Because it's very difficult to prove that you're providing equality of opportunity, it's much more expedient to mandate equality of outcome and simply say you are now all equal in pay. We're hiring on a quota-based system. We have so many people from each category working as doctors and stuff. But that's not real world. And again, if I have to go into the hospital and be operated on, I want the most intelligent, smartest person holding that scalpel. I don't want to be operated on by somebody who got there on a quota system.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, Mike, the up until even parts of Africa today, they're hunter-gatherers. But 100 years ago, 150 years ago, they were almost all hunter-gatherers in Africa, herdsmen. Yes. And hunter-gatherers. And, you know, the guy, the Darwinian selection thing was the big, strong guy who could hunt better and go out and he got the girl. For 2,000 years, there's been a sophisticated economy in, you know, the Middle East and Europe and all that, where it's the rich guy who got the girl. The rich guy is the one who got the girl. It's a different natural selection process up until the last 150 years. So
you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And we guys, we want to get the girls. Certainly Bill Clinton demonstrated that to us. But again, this idea of simply declaring everybody is equal, it's politics. It's not science. We're all different, unique individuals. And we're all born with different skills, different talents. We may be very brilliant in one area and maybe not so sharp in another area. And again, this flies against liberal dogma that is still clinging to Margaret Mead's coming of age in Samoa that says we're all born with blank minds.
Well, I think that I take issue with the Margaret Mead thing, and I would tell you that you can look at different breeds of animals and dogs, for instance. Everybody has dogs and can kind of relate to this. And they're bred for different things. A German Shepherd is much different than a Golden Retriever. They're just different, and they behave differently, and they're wired just a little bit differently. So,
They vary in intelligence greatly. I mean, the Jack Russell Terrier is considered the most intelligent dog. Then I've had a couple of dogs that were absolute morons.
And you know, Mike, you know, even though in my opinion, it's just undeniable that black people are physically gifted, but every once in a while you get Larry Bird or Jerry West, but it's every once in a while. And every once in a while you get, you know, some brilliant guy, Michael Eric Tyson or whatever his name is, or some, you know, and it happens.
George Washington Carver.
Yeah.
George
They're
Washington
brilliant
Carver.
Black people. Yeah. But that's my comment anyways.
All right. Well, thank you for the comment. And is there anything else you wanted to share with us?
Nah, thank you. But I can send this off to your thing right here. Okay.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. I appreciate the help. Republic Broadcasting appreciates the help. And we're going to let you go here. Things are very, very tight. It's serious. It's serious. What can I tell you? Okay. Over in the Netherlands, they have passed a law that makes every citizen a potential organ donor unless they specifically choose to opt out. And the upper house of the Dutch parliament approved this new donor law on Tuesday by a slim majority. And so every Dutch adult who is not registered as a donor will receive a letter asking if they want to be a donor after death. I actually think this is a good idea. Okay. I think that could be the default position. Obviously, a lot of people with their religions don't want to be donors, but I agree with this. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Don Wiskin from HeartDrop.com, the distributors of Extendivite, the number one heart drop that people have been raving about for years. Every February, for the last 16 years, HeartDrop.com has had a Heart Month sale to help you stay heart healthy. For only $115 plus shipping and handling, you can get a four-month supply of Extendivite in either liquid or capsule form to help you get started on your path to better health. Now is the time to stock up. Order what you need. Stay heart healthy all year with the number one heart drop, Extendivite. To order your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones right now. Frank in North Carolina. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just wanted to focus in on a key element of this shooting in Lakeland Park, Florida. Just heard something on the news. I've been following this for about an hour or so. My local 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news broadcast team is Maureen O'Boyle, who I think used to be on Inside Edition or something, so people may be familiar with her. And her co-host there, Paul Cameron, who's been around in Charlotte since I was a boy. She just reported that there seems to have been an issue today, and the reason that there was so much confusion at the school during all of this, and I don't even know what she's talking about. I'm like, of course there's going to be confusion at a shooting. But she said the reason that there was so much confusion is because there was a drill. There was a drill going on, and I'm pretty sure she was talking about a shooting drill, an active shooter drill.
No, actually, it was a fire drill. It was a fire drill. And so basically the students were evacuating the school, and that's when the shooter started picking them off. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd heard about the fire alarm going off. I figured the shooter probably had set that off. an actual drill.
Well, I saw it reported that it was a fire evacuation drill, but that also occurred to me that maybe the shooter actually pulled the alarm.
Right. Okay, never mind. Thank you.
All right, thanks an awful lot, Frank. And, I mean, obviously the networks are still going on about this. The politicians are all piling on and talking about the need to disarm the American people for safety. And I'm looking at this one reporter who is bringing us the latest update, and behind him is a street full of police cars, and they all still have their lights on. It's a big show. Got the flashing lights going. They've already got the suspect arrested. You know, they're in the process of getting the uninjured children back to their parents. But it looks more like a movie set than a real crime. All right, back to the phones here. Terry in California, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike, with the economy going down, do these people really think they can save our economy if they start a war? I mean, that wars are expensive. They take a lot of money. And if they think they're going to dilute the dollar to pay for it, I don't know if that's going to work.
Well, it's not so much as repairing the economy with a world war, but giving the government something to blame it on. You know, if the economy collapses now and they don't have a war, then the American people are going to blame Wall Street, the bankers, the Federal Reserve in Washington, D.C. If they can get a war cranked up before the economy collapses, then the government can say, it's not our fault, we didn't do anything wrong, it's those gosh darn Russians and those gosh darn Chinese. But the U.S. does have a history of getting into a world war to basically distract from and try and fix bad economies. Crash of 1907, World War I. Crash of 1929, World War II. Crash of 2008, and here we are. And yes, it is all borrowed money, but I'm sure what the U.S. is thinking is that they're going to drop that debt on whoever loses the war. Because in World War I, when Germany surrendered, Germany was required to pay the war debt of all the participating nations. So they all those other nations got off scot-free.
Well, if the dollar collapses halfway through a war, all of a sudden logistics stops and nothing moves and we're defeated.
I think we're going to be defeated anyway. I don't think we can win this war. And right now our government, especially our foreign policy machine, we're making enemies faster than our military can kill them off.
Right. And you mentioned a Soviet Union-style collapse. To the best of my knowledge, the ruble, nobody had any money. The troops were out there soliciting money from the motorists going by. You know, if that
yes.
happens here, maybe all Social Security checks will stop. Maybe all military retirement will stop. Maybe all disability from the VA is going to stop. If that happens, there's going to be... this whole country is going to go up in gunfire.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty bad. It's going to be really, really bad. And it's like I was saying on yesterday's show, we have to find a way to motivate our friends and neighbors, our fellow American citizens, to just understand how dangerously close we are to a real world war that is probably going to be fought with nuclear weapons. And we all have to mobilize the American people to stand up to the government and say, this foolishness has gone on long enough and it is time to stop it.
Well, last time I wrote my senator with those words, he came back and was totally on board with military-industrial complex, all these things. We had to get into Syria because he was gassing his own people. That's what he wrote back to me. You know, so I don't know if there's much of a hope. Anyway, Mike, there's music, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to take another break for commercials. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before we go back to the telephone lines, a couple of quick stories coming on up. We now have the name of the Florida shooter, Nicholas Cruz. And I just put up a link to an article about his Instagram account, where he's got pictures of himself posed with guns and knives and all kinds of stuff like that, which in one way is very reassuring. Obviously, the NSA isn't able to spy on us all, or they would have realized this kid was dangerous. Or maybe they realized he was dangerous and he got recruited to be the patsy in another Sandy Hook here. Another story just surfaced here. The judge that just issued an order blocking President Trump's plan to phase out DACA has a history of letting his personal beliefs impair his ability as a jurist. And apparently at one time, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals literally removed this judge, Nicholas Garoufis, from a racial discrimination case against the New York Fire Department after Garoufis called the department, quote, a stubborn bastion of white male privilege. So this guy's a liberal. No question about it. All right, let's take some phone calls here, starting with Sovereign Man. Aloha, Sovereign. What's up, Sov? You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me okay? Thank you for taking my
call. I hear you just fine.
Great. I wanted to touch on the subject of organ donation and what really happens upon the organs being harvested from the donor.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dark side to organ donation, and that is they try to keep the body alive, and most times the individual is still alive when the organs are being harvested.
Well, that's a pretty pretty extreme comment to be making. I mean, I thought organs could not be harvested until the brain had died. And yes, the body dies at different rates, different rates of speed.
The definition of death varies upon the situation.
No, brain death is basically you're wired up to an EEG and there's zero activity.
No, I've listened to many programs that Deanna Spingola has had on the subject. And,
yes.
I beg to differ. Okay.
All right. Well, we agree to differ.
They can institute drugs that will shut down different parts of the body. The individual, majority of the time, is still alive, technically.
Well, on the back of my organ donor card, I do have an admonition. Please make sure I'm really dead before you cut me up. Although at my age, I can't imagine anybody would want any of my organs. So,
well, if it can help,
thank you for the phone call. Okay, thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go and switch over to Chris in St. Petersburg. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Michael, what Sovereign Man just said, I agree with. From my research, I've decided I don't want to be an organ donor, and it's something I've researched quite a bit. And there's some good websites like organfacts.net, truthaboutorgandonation.com, Dr. Paul Burns' site, Life Guardian Foundation, this is what I have in my notes. These are my original words here. Because all organs must be harvested fresh only from a living donor, one might, according to Dr. Paul Byrne at lifeguardianfoundation.org, one might want to consider writing and documenting a refusal of organ donation. Otherwise, one might be incorrectly presumed to be an organ donor, thus one's demise likely to be hastened. As banks charge fees for mere transactions, many doctors and nurse accomplices daily murder folks for the billable service of potentially saving or easing lives of body part recipients. Quote, it's the only reason I'm here now, end quote, the son of an organ donor, son of a man on an organ donor registry, awakens from a quote-unquote brain-dead state after a gun-toting dad engages in three-hour armed standoff with police to block doctors from pulling the plug.
I remember reading that story. Well, unfortunately, the reality is the state of our medical care in this country is not good, and I recognize there's a risk that doctors are going to do something even without organ donation. Medical errors are the leading cause of death in this country, and you do take your life in your hand anytime you go to the clinic. But there are circumstances in which organ donation is perfectly acceptable. For example, most transplant hearts are taken from motorcycle accidents where the brain has just been completely destroyed. There's obviously no way this person's going to come back to life. But the heart continues to beat, keeping the heart supplied with blood if they can get to it in time. That's where most donor hearts come from. In any case, I have made the decision. When I die, I'm going to donate my body to science because I figure medical students can always use a good laugh.
That's true about hearts. Apparently, a couple years ago, that was one exemption that I found is there's a device, and I haven't found the name of it. I've just seen a video on Facebook about it. Reanimation Isn't Just for Zombies is the title. scientists have discovered a way to bring a heart back to life for use in transplants from Hashem El Gailey. Harvard did a study 3 years ago saying that iatrogenicide or iatrogenic hospital medical errors are the third leading cause of death in this country. And that story I was mentioning was, had it not been for armed father George Pickering II, his son George Pickering III wouldn't have lived so quickly to make a full recovery from the alleged coma. And there are a lot of other studies I found like that. Just this one, the father was gun-toting. And
okay, well, I understand your concerns. I understand your concerns, and I'm hearing that, and I'm also getting some emails on the issue, and I guess that's why this law in the Netherlands does give a person the choice to opt out of being an organ donor. Again, we know that one of the best ways to stop the black market in organ trafficking is to make sure that there is a surplus of legitimately donated organs for the hospitals to use. Because unfortunately, as scared of doctors as you may be, the black market organ harvesters are much more dangerous.
Yeah, I've heard that. One last anecdote was last year there was an 8-year-old who was taken off life support. His organs were donated. He was pumped with fentanyl, and that was in Los Angeles in the LA Times and all different so-called credible news outlets. But there's several others. I'll just email you all my notes on all these different stories.
Well, hold on. You said they were going to inject him with fentanyl.
They did inject. They killed him with fentanyl. They took him off life support.
That would render the organs unusable, because those organs are going to be saturated with the fentanyl. When you transplant them into another patient, that fentanyl will go into the circulatory system. So I have to question that one. I mean, normally when you take somebody off of life support and they're going to be donating the organs, you simply take them off the life support and let nature take its course. The idea that they supposedly terminated him with fentanyl, I don't think the organs would be usable. Anyway, thank you for the phone call. We're going to let you go. And somebody wrote on in to say that there is, in fact, a cutoff age that they don't bother harvesting organs from people over the age of 60. So good. I can relax. All right, getting on back to the news here. There's still corporate media is nothing but this school shooting. It feels like Sandy Hook all over again. Okay, article that came out of Tech Dirt talking about how corporate media, and for that matter, entertainment, is trying to get a change to the copyright laws in this country. Now, the current copyright laws have what are called fair use provisions and internet safe harbors. And fair use allows you to excerpt from an article for the purpose of commentary or education. And there have been certain safe harbors for the internet protect webmasters such as myself from bad behavior by people who log on to the website and post complete articles, copyrighted material, which is that's a no-no around here. That'll get you banned. But corporate media, the entertainment, specifically the Motion Picture Association of America and the Recording Industry Association of America, are trying to use NAFTA, the NAFTA renegotiations that are coming up, to basically get rid of fair use and safe harbors. And they're putting out this idea that the internet is harming content creators. Well, as far as the corporate media is concerned, we are harming them. We're taking away their audience, because they are lying and people coming here for the truth. As far as other content such as music and movies, blaming the internet has become the fashion in Hollywood. The reality is that ticket sales are down and album sales are down because people just don't have the money. They do not have the money. And in the case of Hollywood movie making, it's remakes and retakes and all politically correct propaganda that people just don't want to use. They don't want to see it. They don't want to watch it. With one exception, I feel like inserting this here. Last night on cable, on the pay-per-view, we paid for it, was a movie based on the life of Mark Felt, and it starred Liam Neeson, and I'm so glad he's moved away from all this Taken stuff where he tried to be an action hero, because he's a fine actor, and he really showed it in this film. And it's the story of Mark Felt, who was a 30-year career FBI agent, who was the deep throat of Watergate fame. And so if you've got it on your cable box, that's worth seeing. But for the most part, it's junk out there. You know, how many variations of Marvel comic book heroes can you see? And so these vice presidents in charge of production, they're making bad choices, and the studios are losing money. But they don't want to lose their jobs, so they're out there saying, well, it's the internet pirates. If we could get those internet pirates, we would be making billions and billions of dollars. No, you wouldn't. Most of what's coming out of Hollywood right now, most of what's coming out of music industry right now, is not worth the trouble to steal. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Mateus in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, I definitely agree with your last point there.
Yes.
Do you mind if I change the topic wildly?
Go ahead.
Okay, so a couple of things. I want to talk about Occam's Razor. A violation of Occam's Razor would be to build a robot that can follow humans around in traffic and pull them over and give them tickets. That's way, way too complicated. There is an ulterior motive, and what it is it's to get the public accustomed to being hunted by a robot. That's my opinion. The other thing is that I wanted to talk about the Magna Carta and the last 1,000 years of history in Europe was basically just we the people fighting for a little bit of dignity and freedom from the tyrants and the bankers and the royalists. And
okay, well let's start with the robot. Let's start with the robot here. Again, applying Occam's Razor, the simple explanation is it's just another way to take money away from the American people, and they're going to put a police officer out of work in the process. And I question whether such a complex robot can really be made reliable. But that's what's going on there. The fact of the matter is they don't need to get us used to being hunted by robots. If you're being hunted, it doesn't matter what you think about it. And as somebody who in my youth was a hunter, you know, I didn't worry about the food that I was stalking getting used to the idea that I was hunting them. In fact, their reaction was very much they weren't happy about it at all. So
well,
getting
humans,
on back to the
humans, like humans will stand up and say no if there's too much of a violation of our human rights all at once. And that's what David Icke calls the totalitarian tiptoe. And so right now they have a robot police officer in China that has a police badge on it, but it looks kind of cute, and he's got four wheels, and he's not holding a gun, so we're letting it pass. They slowly mm-hmm. creep up on us. So now it's a self-driving car that's hunting us around in public. Next, it's going to actually be a bipedal robot getting out of that car fully armed. But if they do that now, we're going to say no. So that's what we're basically just slowly creeping towards a robot police force and a robot military that's incapable of saying no to an illegal order. And if I can just leave it at that and go to the Magna Carta in England and in Europe, there's a relationship here, in my opinion, is that what happened is that the reason that we have the American Constitution and the Bill of Rights, that comes from the Magna Carta. And the reason we have the
Much
Magna Carta
does, yes.
is because yeah, and the reason we have the Magna Carta is because enough of we the people in the last 1,000 years in Europe were willing to bleed and die for demanding a little bit of dignity and a little bit of freedom against the bankers and the royalists. And we finally started winning enough battles and chopping off a few heads in France and other places that finally the King George came down and said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. I'll sign a piece of paper that you're going to have a little bit of dignity, a little bit of human rights, and stop chopping off our heads, and we'll just go on with the game. But the thing is to remember is that we didn't defeat our enemy then. It was just like a minor compromise. They still hate us. They're either direct bloodlines or else just people in the same kind.
Mateus, we have to take a break for commercials. Do not hang up. I'm going to come back to you right after these few words.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking to Mateus up in Canada, and a couple of points I need to make here. The Magna Carta was not signed by King George. It was signed by King John, and it was mostly the barons who stood up to him and forced him to sign the document. They were supported in turn by their conscripted forces. It's not at all like they portray in Robin Hood with Russell Crowe. Basically, the barons had armies of people that were just forced to be their soldiers. They stood up to King John. That's why back then there was a House of Nobles, but it wasn't until much later that the House of Commons was created. And in any event, both the barons and King John broke the Magna Carta almost immediately.
Well, I stand corrected on those finer points. The general concept is that we had a pretty much total control over the population by the royals and the bankers and the elites. And then after the Magna Carta was signed, there was a bit of a break in the complete stranglehold in that, even just a 10% reduction in the strangulation. And that's what gave birth to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all of that. So we have what we have to thank is a bit of a defeat, for whatever reasons, against the royalists back then. And those royalists, either by direct lineage or by people of the same mentality, still exist today. The bankers still exist. They still want to have a more total control. They don't appreciate that we forced a compromise. They don't appreciate that at all. They are still our blood enemies. And that's why the people that are really running everything are doing these horrible things to us constantly, like experimenting on us and treating us like dumb animals and sending us off to fake wars and poisoning our like food supply and our air and our water and everything. Like, these people just hate us. And they hate the internet. They hate the independence and the self-empowerment that the internet gave us. They're trying to figure out how to like censor that or correct it or control it or use it against us. And what they've finally decided is that they need to have more control over the population. And the way to do that would be to have a robotic police and military. And that's where this is going. And we're so dumb to like not be more alarmed about it. Just because they're doing it in slow steps, come on, like, let's just think ahead 10 years. If we've already got a police car that can follow you around and pull you over by itself, and we already see these military bipedal robots that can do backflips, put it together, everybody. In 10 years, we're going to have a bipedal police officer robot coming out fully armed. He's going to have 100 rounds in his gun. He can shoot all 100 of them in 1 second. They're all going to hit their target with smart bullets. They could go into a crowd with facial recognition, take out the 100 top leaders of a revolt in 1 second. Like, we are facing a species-level extinction event by a complete robotic takeover of our civilization.
Well, okay, hang on. Pull the hysteria back. Because there are a couple of issues here. Well, I'll tell you what. Stay on the line. I'm going to come right back to you after station identification.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendover. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.